From Dog Works Training Centers, professional canine training centers in Denver, Colorado, and Anchorage, Alaska, this is Dog Works Radio, committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogworksradio.com. Dog Works Radio is part of Twine Group Media and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Now, here are your hosts, Robert and Michelle Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and you are listening to the Dog Works Radio, and beside me is our co-host, Michelle. Michelle, how's it going?
It's going great. It's a beautiful day here at the fort, and I'm looking forward to the show today. We have an author on today.
We do. His name is Bruce Cameron, and he wrote a book called A Dog's Purpose, and we're looking forward to talking to him about that and his brand-new novel that is the sequel to that in just a second. Bruce, are you there?
I'm here. It's good to be on your show this morning.
Thank you very much. Sorry we didn't get to talk before the beginning of the show. I saw you called in just a little late, but that's okay. Let's jump right into it. How's it going? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, this whole journey, if you will, started with this book, A Dog's Purpose, which, I had written other books, humor books mostly. I wrote one called 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter. And that was based on a column that I wrote for the now defunct Denver Rocky Mountain News. And it became a TV show starring John Ritter, which is what pulled me out to Los Angeles, where I currently reside. And I wrote a few more humor books. And then I wrote this book, A Dog's Purpose, which is the story of a dog who lives multiple lifetimes and remembers each life and comes to conclude that he must have some reason, some purpose that he keeps being reborn. And until he figures that purpose out and fulfills it, it's just going to happen over and over again. So it becomes a sort of an existential quest, if you will, for purpose, which lends the book its deeper and more spiritual element. And now, of course, I've got a sequel coming out in May 6th will be the publication of A Dog's Journey, which is the continuing story of the dog. So I'm not giving it away when I say this is not a book where the dog dies in the end.
Well, you know, Bruce, if he comes back to life several times, I guess he can't die then. So I think it is just a continuing journey. And you know, there's a lot of theories out there that, dogs are reborn as folks and things like that throughout history. How did you come about? I know you're more of a novel writer, sometimes humor writer. How did you come about writing about a dog's life over and over again, as you mentioned?
Well, it's actually sort of an odd story for a writer to tell, because most of the time when I'm piecing together a story, I'm sort of building it brick by brick in my head, I'll test out some ideas and characters, and they won't work, and I'll retire them and bring others. And eventually I'll have pieced together enough of the thing to be able to see an arc and to be able to say, okay, there's the story. That's not what happened with A Dog's Purpose. I was in my car driving with my then-fiancé to Northern California, and I was just struck by this idea. It had the kernel of it goes all the way back to when I was much younger and I was riding my mountain bike in Pine, Colorado, in that area, and I met a dog. I always like to stop and talk to dogs, and this dog interacted with me the same way that my dog Cammy had interacted with me when I was a little boy. I mean, like eerily so. Looked at me the same way, danced around in the same way. And this dog was effusively glad to see me, and I just wondered as I rode away if it were possible that I had just met my childhood friend, if we had gotten back together. So with that, I started noodling on that in the car, and then all of a sudden this whole story came to me in one, as if I was watching a movie in my head. I saw the whole story, all the characters and everything, beginning to end, right there. And we stopped for coffee, and I said, sit down, I want to tell you a story. And I told my fiance that it was the entire story from start to finish. And I will tell you that the book has changed very, very little from that initial blurt, if you will, where I just sort of came up with it all at once.
You know, Bruce, that's truly amazing story, and I'm very familiar with the Pine, Colorado area. Robert and I lived in Bailey for quite some time.
Oh, wonderful.
It's a beautiful, beautiful area, and, you know, it sounds like you did have a reconnection with your childhood friend, and that's always amazing. You know, as dog trainers, we hear that a lot. People ask us, do you think this could be a dog that I had before? I really have a strong connection with this dog, especially my clients that go and get shelter dogs. As if they are looking for the dog that they lost, that passed, or they no longer have for whatever reason when they were a child. As adults, they go and look for that dog again. And I think that your story is truly inspiring in that aspect.
Well, thank you. It has helped a lot of people. It's also, I would never try to like market the book this way, but a lot of people have told me that they have found comfort in a dog's purpose after the loss of a beloved pet. That it gives them, a sense of what we all know to be true, which is that true love never dies, and that our real friends are always with us in some form if we know where to look.
Do you ever get the people that, you know, and I absolutely agree with you that, you know, for whatever reason, especially with dogs, people see that reincarnation thing happening for them multiple times in their life because, you know, dogs are here for such a short period. You know, we can have two or three or four dogs in our lifetime. Unless you're a musher, then you'll have quite a few more. But, you know, you'll have the opportunity to meet that soul that will go with you for a period of time in your life. And that dog may be there for one specific purpose in your life. It might be there to help you find that perfect somebody to spend the rest of your life with. Or they might be there to help you overcome the death of a loved one, or they might help you overcome your own insecurities and teach you how to put yourself out there. You know, we never really truly know what a dog's purpose is, but I think that your ideals behind your book really capture what everyone silently thinks. None of us want to admit that we hope that reincarnation exists, and we hope that, you know, maybe a human loved one will come back to us as a dog friend later on in our lives. But I think that kind of is where I felt that your book was kind of going.
Well, thanks. I do think that that for a lot of people who have the similar experience to what you're talking about, that a dog's purpose seems to put into words what they feel like is really happening. And I love the idea that people would go to shelters and connect with a dog and take that dog home and say, I feel as if I know this dog. I feel as if this dog knows me, because that is a story I hear over and over again. My daughter runs a rescue in Denver called Life is Better Rescue, and she tells a story all the time of people who come and connect with a dog and go away and take that dog and say, this is a miracle. And I'm so proud when people take this step. I didn't know anything about dogs. I grew up with dogs, but what I knew about dogs is that we would go to a very expensive breeder and buy a Labrador. That was my entry into how you get dogs. And so the first time when I bought a dog, I bought it from a breeder. I thought I was doing the right thing. It took a while before I was educated to learn that you can rescue a dog, and you can rescue, if you want a Labrador, you can get a pure-blooded Labrador. You can get a beautiful animal from rescue if you just look for it. And I didn't know any of that. My current dog, Tucker, is he's purebred something. I mean, when you look at Tucker, we have no idea what came together to make you. He's a scruffy looking little dog, but he's got the biggest heart, and he is so wonderful. And rescuing a dog is just it's been one of the most fulfilling experiences of my life.
So, Bruce, I know that you said that the story came to you pretty quickly there, pretty much all at once. But, you know, I'm sure as being an author, after the book comes out, you get a heck of a lot of correspondence from your readers telling telling you stories about how they've made that connection with the book. Can you share one or two of those with us?
Sure. I will say that I get letters. This has never happened to me before. With my other books, I might get an occasional note. I've never had a book where I've gotten so many emails from people wanting to tell me just how much their book meant to them. And I had a correspondence with a woman who fell and broke her hip and was pretty isolated. She apparently lived a little far away from her children so that they couldn't tend to her the way they wanted. And it was somebody's idea that she get a dog. Well, she didn't want a dog because she had lost a pet many years before and just felt like she could never go through that again. Somebody shows up with a dog, comes bounding in to her life, and immediately becomes the source of joy and motivation. And she feels it was what got her out of that wheelchair, because she was pretty much resigned to just sitting there and aching and not enjoying life. And this dog needed to be walked, and she had to get up out of that chair. So when you get any, I don't know, and then she read A Dog's Purpose, and she was just writing me to tell me that her story. When you get a letter like that, you really feel like that dogs are here for a really important purpose. They're here to be with us, and we do them a favor when we give them a purpose in life, because I believe that's what all animals want. Human beings, of course, have to have a purpose. I think all animals have some purpose, and fulfilling that purpose is the existential reason we're here.
And Michelle, I know you wanted to point out something about A Dog's Purpose, and of course being one of the primary purposes of dogs today are service dogs.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Bruce, and I hope you're okay with us calling you Bruce, but
sure.
I kind of fell into service dog training when I met Robert about 15 years ago. It was not what I felt my purpose was at the time. I had three young children, was recently widowed, and, Robert came along with a ragtag bunch of sled dogs and said, "Hey, I'm a dog trainer, and I think you'd be good at this." And he showed me how to train dogs and put them through some rigorous training so that they could do something a little bit above and beyond just being someone's companion. And I know for all of the recipients I've trained service dogs for, they'd really truly feel that their dog is reaching above and beyond their original purpose. You know, they actually mm-hmm. help them live life, you know. And I don't know how many people have read your book and things like that, but I do know a lot of people connected with me about getting you on the show because they were clients of mine, therapy clients and service dog clients said, "You got to get this guy on. He wrote a fabulous book, write up what you guys are doing."
Oh, that's great. I really appreciate that. There is, you know, because the dog in the book goes through multiple lives, he has multiple life experiences, and one of them is as a she, so it's always confusing to talk about this book because the dog starts out a male and then becomes a female at one point. As a female, it is a service dog working for the police department, and it's an entirely different life. Gives her a very strong sense of purpose, and as this dog goes along with every chapter or with every life, there's more and more wisdom attached to purpose, and there's also more wisdom in terms of what I learned in my previous lives will help me now, and putting together that connection, which I think is important for any sentient being to learn both from mistakes and from positive experiences. And of course, with dogs, nearly everything is positive because you lock a dog in a closet for an hour, and then when you open him, he's really happy. You know, it's not just, that doesn't work with your children, but you can give it a shot with your dog, and it will be. So I'm just trying to say that the service dog aspect of a dog's purpose, which a lot of people say is, you know, such an interesting change of pace going from a family pet to being a service dog, really helps define this dog and really teaches this dog lessons that then it can apply to the next life, which is really important I don't want to give the book away, but as you read the book, you realize that the things that this dog learned as a service dog were critical. But I really admire training service dogs and therapy dogs. You know, there's just so many ways in which dogs come to us and help us. And I hope with the dog's purpose that I captured a little of that.
And we're talking to W. Bruce Cameron, the author of A Dog's Purpose. His website is adogspurpose.com. I'm sure you can buy the book right there, as well as Amazon and lots of other places. And we have a link on our page as well. Bruce, you mentioned dogs are learning throughout these lives. And you'll often hear folks say, my dog has an old soul. And, you know, that comes about being, of course, from that whole reincarnation theory where the dogs are coming back, you know, multiple times. When you were talking to folks about that, did you ever hear that quote or that line? And if you did, what was kind of the gist of what they were talking about when they mentioned that?
I think what they were saying was, when you look into a dog's eyes, sometimes you see real wisdom there, and you see all sorts of attributes that you are sort of surprised to see in a pet. You see patience, and you see kindness, and you see real thinking and self-realization. All of that going on in a dog's eyes. Now, I have to say, I looked into my puppy Tucker's eyes, and I think this is his first trip, because I don't see anything in there but playtime. You know, that's all he's got on his mind. But I do think that it's absolutely true that dogs are capable of reflecting back to us so much. You know, if you think about it, that's what we have done with dogs, is that we bred out the unfriendly ones. We bred dogs to be our companions and to serve us and to help us. And that's their purpose, and that's what they want to do. And I think giving a dog an opportunity to be a service dog, I think helping a dog have a strong purpose to let a dog have a job, I think can really be rewarding for a lot of dogs. I see service dogs, and they look very self-satisfied that they are really serving an important purpose.
And you know, Bruce, if you're active at all on social media, Twitter in particular, you'll see three very top categories of what people talk about. One being, of course, technology, and the second, definitely in the blogging community, are the mommy bloggers. And then way up there, probably third, fourth, or fifth, are all of the dog folks. There's a heck of a lot of folks out there that are talking about dogs all the time, and you know, they have all these stories to share, all these ideas to capture. And you know, what do you think about that in today's society, about how much attention that we are paying to dogs, much more, I think, than in the last 15 or 20 years?
What I think is that for a lot of people, the challenges of the modern world sometimes means that people can't have children, they can't afford to have children, or their circumstances don't allow them to have children, and so that particular kind of connection is missing for them. And a dog can enter and fulfill a huge part of that role, can really help you connect. And just, you know, you said mommy blogs are number one, but dogs are way up there as well. So I think it's kind of the same impulse. I'm on a trip. I'm in San Francisco. I do miss my wife, but I also miss my dog. and I wish there was a way I could, you know, call him or something, because it feels like I haven't seen him in a long time, and I just said goodbye to him yesterday morning. So I just think that dogs are on our mind because their unconditional love for us is so pure and so forgiving. You know, you can forget to feed your dog, and you can mistreat your dog, and your dog will still adore you and want to be with you. That's an amazing trait, and it doesn't really exist in people. You know, you can't really mistreat your friends and expect them to stick around. Whether it's negligence, an accident, or you deliberately do something to your friend, they're probably just not going to forgive you. It takes a pretty strong person, but a dog has that built into them. They are forgiving by their very nature. They are, in that way, more advanced than we.
I totally agree, and that's why we, Michelle and I, love what we do every day, not only with dog training and service dogs, but hanging out with 50 sled dogs every day. A lot of people say, wow, how in the world can you maintain that many dogs? And we have that very unique connection with every single one of them, and each one of those guys provides that little bit of a different spark than the guy next to him, you know, in the kennel or whatever next to him. So I totally agree with you, and I'm sure a lot of people that are listening understand exactly what you're saying to the T. They know exactly what you're talking about. Even if they haven't read your book, I'm sure that this conversation sparks that imagination for them. But in our last few minutes here, Bruce, let's talk about A Dog's Journey, which is the next book coming out here in just a couple of months. Can you lay that out for us a little bit?
Sure. I don't want to give a ton away, but the book A Dog's Journey picks up pretty much right after A Dog's Purpose ends. Same dog, same person, same family at that point that he was living with toward the end of A Dog's Purpose. And in this particular event, the dog feels that he has fulfilled his purpose. And A Dog's Purpose, the dog, who is named Buddy at that point, believes that, I don't want to give anything away about that, but believes that he has fulfilled his purpose, that he did what he was put on earth to do, and that he will no longer be reborn, that he will now go on to whatever is next. So he's quite surprised to find himself reborn, but then it becomes apparent why he's back when he reconnects with a person from his past. And then this is a woman, and she's very troubled, and she has a lot of things going on in her life. She's got a calamitous life. She makes bad choices and bad decisions. She has some health problems, and again, this dog finds himself drawn to this woman to help shepherd her through her life. And it's a deeper book, I think, more spiritual, and also it's also a lot funnier. I mean, A Dog's Purpose has comedic moments. I think A Dog's Journey has, I'm a humorist, and it makes me happy to make people laugh. So there's really laugh out loud moments in it. And then I think it serves as, I've been told by the very few people who have read it, that it's a perfect sequel, that it does exactly what everyone would have wanted in terms of expanding this story. So I'm really thrilled. It's got a beagle on the cover. It's the cutest beagle, and the dog's life is as a beagle, and it's got a lot of surprises. I'm really looking forward to having my audience read this one and tell me what they think.
Well, Bruce, my last question, and maybe Michelle has one final question for you as well. You mentioned early on in our conversation about how you wrote the novel for the eight rules on how to date my daughter. I'm 40
yeah.
years old, so I'm sorry I wasn't a watcher of the show. But anyway, my question to you is when you write books or novels and then they end up becoming movies or TV shows, I've always wanted to ask this of authors where that's happened to. How do you think that they can compress what your ideas are, what your thoughts are in this 200 or 300-page book into a series or into a movie? And do you think that a lot of these guys that make these films capture what you're trying to say?
Yeah, it's a great question. I was fortunate enough to write the screenplay for A Dog's Purpose, which we have sold to DreamWorks, and they're planning to make a live-action movie out of it starting this spring. It'll probably be released in 2013 or 2014. And I am a screenwriter, so I can tell you that adapting my own material, it's mostly a case of throwing things overboard, because you are, by definition, confined to about 120 pages for a screenplay. If it's longer than that, you're in trouble. No one wants to make a movie longer than that unless you're, James Cameron or Steven Spielberg or somebody, and you're going to give the audience a 3.5-hour experience. But for the most part, especially movies that are to appeal to, a family, you want to have a movie that's around 100 minutes long. So it mostly is, well, I can't afford to have that in there. I can't afford to have this in there. I would love to put every single scene from my book up on the screen, not going to happen. Not unless they give me a mini series or something, it's not going to happen. So it's a real case of trying to get the essence of the book up there and hope that people understand that this story can be told in different media. And in this case, if you really enjoy the movie, and hopefully people will go see it, then you should maybe pick up the book and see what you missed, because I'm here to tell you there's a lot in the book that didn't make it onto the screen. I couldn't get it in there.
Right, right. Michelle, you have a final question for Bruce?
You know, Bruce, I'm just wondering, so when you do go ahead and submit these books to, like, DreamWorks, for instance, do you take any of the feedback that you've been getting from your readers and decide which parts of the book, yeah, most definitely I'm including that, you know, too many people enjoyed that piece of the book, or do you just do it on what you feel absolutely should be in there and not listen to any of your fans?
Oh, that's a great question. I absolutely listen to my fans. And things have changed so much between 2001, where my first book came out, to today. The explosion of social media has meant that I am in constant contact with all of my readers. I have a fan page on Facebook that has 120,000 fans, and I read what they say, and they email me separately, and they friend me on Facebook. I got more friends now than ever before in my life. I don't actually know who they are, but I think they're great people. And so absolutely, I am in touch with that. But I will say that the development process that one goes through with a studio is a murky journey indeed. You really have to be cognizant of all sorts of different things. And the problem with a dog's purpose is that the dog has multiple lives, and each life could take the length of a whole motion picture if you let it. And people have favorite lives. When they write me, they say, well, I really liked it when the dog was Ellie, or my favorite part was when the dog was Bailey. And I think that I try to listen to that. And certainly when I wrote A Dog's Journey, I was very aware of what people said they felt they really wanted to see in the next book. I was very aware of that, and I made sure that their hopes and dreams got captured on paper. So I can't, it's just so difficult then to go into a room with studio executives and say, well, this is what my readers want, because in the end, they're making a different thing. They're making a movie, and they don't want to do a book. If they wanted to do a book, they'd be in publishing. So it's really a negotiation from the very first time you meet. But it's a great question, because I think that today people are much more empowered. People can steer me toward writing a dog's journey. For one thing, they started clamoring for a sequel. I didn't finish A Dog's Purpose with the intent of writing a sequel. But the readers just kept asking, well, what happens next? I need to know. What? Tell me more. And I thought, this is what people want. I'm going to have to give it to them, because that's the way the world works now. People get what they, it's interactive. They ask me questions. I'm not going to sit and speculate. I'm going to write it down in a book for them so that they can all have access to it.
You know, very cool stuff, Bruce. We do appreciate you being on. W. Bruce Cameron, the author of A Dog's Purpose and the upcoming A Dog's Journey, which is coming out in May. You can find out more about that at adogspurpose.com, and I'm sure you can purchase the book there as well as Amazon. And make sure you head over to Facebook and Twitter and check this book out. It's a pretty cool gig. It took us a while to get Bruce on. He's a busy guy. But, Bruce, I appreciate you being on the show today on a Sunday morning. I hope you're enjoying San Francisco.
Thank you so much. It was great being on, and I will do my best to enjoy San Francisco, but I really miss my dog.
That's very good. Very good. Bruce Cameron, the author of A Dog's Purpose. Check it out. You'll be happy you did. So thank you very much, Bruce. On behalf of my co-host, Michelle, we'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.